Thank you. We'll start the meeting. First things first, if your cell phone's not on silent, would you please do so?
To speak right into the microphone.
This is the February 10th, 2026 special meeting of the Rancho Muriata Community Services District. Madam Secretary, call the roll, please.
Yes, sir. Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Gere?
Here.
Director Janko?
Here.
Director Mabee?
Here.
President Merchant?
Here. Item two is comments from the public. For this special meeting, members of the public may only comment on items specifically agendized. With certain exceptions, the board may not discuss or take action on items that are not on the agenda. If you wish to speak during the comment period from the public or would like to comment regarding the board's, please fill out a card and submit it to the board secretary prior to the public comments. Speakers presenting opinions, whether individual or on behalf of a group of speakers, shall have 3 minutes to speak. This 3 minute limitation will be strictly enforced. There are a lot of us. Speakers will not be allowed to make more than one public comment. Moving on to item three, correspondence. There is correspondence in the file. Is there any comment to that? Hearing none, we'll move to item four, public hearing to consider imposing a water emergency. The first item on that is a presentation by staff, which will be made by our counsel, Mr. Patrick Henry.
Thank you. So first of all, thank you. I've got a 25 slides, so we'll try to do this. I know everyone wants to comment. So the objectives of the presentation is for the preliminary steps for the adoption of a declaration. We're looking at Water Code Section 350 to declare a water emergency and what is needed to do that. We'll look at finding the facts necessary, the public notice requirements, which is the public hearing of tonight, and the board has the authority, if they decide to go forward, to adopt regulations about the water emergency. Next. Barely read that. The purpose of the hearing is to give an initial overview of the status of the district's water supplies and demands, the process for implementation of the water emergency, and we'll have board member comments if they have any clarifications or questions, and we'll take public comments. The board will deliberate and comment on the public comments and any evidence and information that we receive tonight. And then the board may take the following actions. They could decide not to take any action to declare a water emergency. They could continue the hearing to a future date to receive more documentation and public comments. They can schedule additional public hearings, or we could adopt a resolution for a water emergency. Next. So right now, the status of the water supplies for the district is we've had numerous studies over the years. We had an integrated water master plan in 2006. We had another one in 2010. We had a water supply assessment done in 2016. And we also had a 2024 draft integrated water master plan, which was never adopted or approved by the board. 2016-2010 integrated water master plan in the water supply included the district had adequate water supplies for pool buildup. Now I say it included that, but it also in most cases assumed that there would be, sometimes they called it a contingency, sometimes it said augmentation, but it would be advisable to have a backup water source of some amount. 2024 integrated water master plan concludes the district may not have an adequate water supply for the current customers during the drought, and the district requires a backup water source. Also, the state has adopted legislation in 2021 which requires that we have a backup water source. Next. So the evaluation was for the average recent rain year, there's adequate water to meet current demands, but at full build out, we have less than 100 acre feet of remaining water supply. This assumes no use of Clementia and no additional source of water, no augmentation. The water, if we have a worst case drought year, the current water demand reaches close to zero water supplies. With full belt out, the system runs out of water with a significant deficit. It provides no water augmentation assumption. Next. So these are the evidence that we have, and we'll receive any other evidence that we receive tonight. All of the water master plans have been conducted over the years. District's history of water demand from 2010 to 2025. Obviously, any public comments we receive tonight, and that includes any written documentation that we receive either tonight or prior to tonight's meeting. Any documents presented or submitted by developers, and we've had several documents prepared by working groups. This is the background on California planning requirements for water. California does not require that the public water agencies maintain an active water master plan by law if you have fewer than 3,000 connections. Right now we have about 2,225 connections.
2,900.
What did I say? 2,900. 29 connections, so we're just under the 3,000 limit. And we're also below the 3,000 acre feet. Once we get over 3,000, then we have to adopt, and this is mandatory, an urban water master plan, which is similar to an integrated water master plan, although I describe it as more robust, required by the state. And it would have annual requirements of reporting to the state. Once we get to 3,000, we have 1 year to prepare the urban water master plan to be compliant with state law. And so my recommendation has been that perhaps we should take a look at it now because based on the integrated water master plan, it took us well over 12 months to get where we are. But that's something we can discuss later. I also want to highlight that the plans are over a 20-year planning time frame. So we're looking at a water plan for the next 20 years, not the next 40, 60, 80 years. The state's looking out 20 years, and that's what they want to see us plan for. We'll describe the demand management measures and water sharing contingency plans that we have. Would also, like I said, require reporting to the state. Next. Status of development right now is that the 2024 draft integrated water master plan is in full build out of at least 3942 connections. with about 3831 being residential and 111 being commercial. Currently, we have, or I guess it's now 2,929 water connections. We also have well served letters on issue to Riverview and residents, 198 units. And most of those have not been built yet. Next. Future growth, like I said, the 2024 Integrated Water Master Plan is over 1,100 units, including the 39-acre parcel. In Rancho North, it's been reduced down to 561, is the application before the county at this time. The county has reviewed the application, and I believe it's like 95% complete, but it has not been deemed complete at this time. The 39-acre parcel has been removed from the plan, so there are no future plans for the 39 acres. Over the years, various things have been proposed for that 39 and a few commercial lots to be developed in the shopping center. There's also a few undeveloped lots in the district itself, but I think that number is 25 or more. So the assumptions of the draft plan were based on numbers as of late 2022, so we probably need, well, we would need to update that to include the last 3 years. And in here I give what the district has used the last 4 years in acre feet each year. As you can see, last year was a little lower than normal, but generally we're between 1,600 to 1,800 acre feet for the current residents of the district right now. Fluctuates a little bit depending, I think, primarily how hot it is in July, August, September, when the most water is used and a lot is used for irrigation. But I'm sure there's other factors too, when the rainy season ends and things like that. Next. So water demand mitigation, the district usage appears to be fairly flat depending on seasonal fluctuations right now. Probably attributed to various rebates and installation of water efficient appliances. Both that the district incentivizes as well as the state requiring, converting to drought-tolerant landscaping or some landscaping of individual lots. I realize people want to have their lots totally drought-tolerant, but some are at least reducing the amount of water usage. And of course, new development would be conditioned on drought-tolerant lot landscaping and new efficient standards. Both us and the state require a large percentage of those. And the last thing we can do is try to decrease leaks in the pipelines. First of all, determine how many leaks we've got and try to reduce that so that we are not having to use water that's just going out outside the system. Water demand, we need to determine future water demand on a full build-out. That would include the current connections, 561 Rancho North. We need to decide about the 39-acre parcel. Like I said, it's over a 20-year planning horizon, so I don't know exactly what the horizon is for that 39 acres. And commercial in the shopping center at full build-out. Right now, our sole water source is from the Cosumnes River, pursuant to a permit that we have from the state. The permit allows us to divert water from the Cosumnes River from November 1 to May 31st, when the river flows at or above 70 cubic feet. So in reality, rarely do we get to start on November 1, but usually sometime in late November, early December, as we receive rains, we are allowed to divert the water. We're limited to 3,900 acre feet per annum to be stored, so 1250 in Chesbro, 2610 in Calero, 850 acre feet in Clementia, which is primarily runoff, and 40 acre feet in Fairway Number 10. The combined of Valero, Valencia, and the fairway number 10 will not exceed 2650 acre feet, i.e. that's how we come to 3900 acre feet. Next. Drought resiliency. With some of the recent droughts in California, especially from like 2012 to 2018, California adopted several pieces of legislation to encourage drought resiliency and water planning, both for groundwater and for water districts in general. In the last drought, several small districts essentially ran out of water, especially down in the central and southern part of the San Joaquin Valley. So the state has required that we have a backup water system, a backup system of water supply that would meet current water quality requirements and is sufficient to meet the district's average daily demand. The average daily demand is what's typically referred to as the daily water consumption that a water system must be capable of meeting through the backup sources during a drought condition. So this is something that, like I said earlier, it's been mentioned in numerous documents. All the way back to 1994, there was talk about having a backup augmentation or contingency plan to sites the Missoula River in the form of wells or other sources of water. And it's something the district will need to look at seriously in the future. Whether or not we adopt a water emergency, the water emergency would not relieve the district of the requirement to come up with a backup water source. It would also not relieve the district of the requirement to vigorously look for additional water sources to meet the needs of the community. So what I quoted was out of the California Code of Regulations, and it also gives a formula to calculate the average daily usage. Next. So potential backup sources that we've looked at are, of course, wells. Currently we've got a study, I think, with 6 proposed well sites, but there may be more. We've also looked at Clementia. Right now we cannot use Clementia or water, but we've looked at, or considering looking at, using Clementia either for potable water or for irrigation water, and what we need to do to get the permit changed. The other thing that is in the SB 552 is the idea of an intertie to another system, which would be allow you to have a backup system. This would be with another public agency, probably. It could be a private agency, but another water system where if there was a drought and they had excess water, you could intertie back and forth. Unfortunately, Rancho Marietta is fairly far from Folsom, Rancho Cordova, and other water sources, so it would probably be difficult, but I think we are looking at the El Dorado Irrigation District if there's something we could do in that regard. There's also the possibility of water banking. The Slough House Resource Conservation Water District is looking at grants, so it's something that we could take a look at. And also recycled water, we could potentially use more of that. So all of these and reducing leaks, which we talked about previously. So all these would be options to potentially reduce either the water demand or provide an augmentation and backup water source. And next. We've also, of course, got the financing and servicing agreements that we entered into 2014 with both what's commonly called the 670 FSA, since originally it was 670 lots, and the Rancho, what I call the Rancho North FSA. So we've got to address both of those. The developers did front the cost of the water expansion, and Some developers participated in that cost. Others are to reimburse the participating developers when they have their final map approved by the county. At the time, the assumption appears the district had adequate water supply, at least for a normal year. But we did, even in the bonds that were issued for the community facilities district, did make clear that we were looking at potentially wells and other sources to augment the water supply. So it's always been an issue that we need something to augment the basic water supply. And it also allows for the bundle fee, what they call bundle fee, which is basically a development impact fee for water augmentation, capital improvements, water meter, sewer, water and sewer inspections, and the security fee was included there too, pursuant to the Mitigation Act. Next. So some of the things that have changed since 2024 is, of course, the droughts that California experienced and the legislation that California has passed to try to address or ameliorate future droughts. So that no district ends up with not adequate water for residential customers. So they passed SB 552, like I said, you know, with the resiliency and the requirement for backup water sources. They've also adopted 1668, which requires a water management plan. And the district drafted started preparing an integrated water master plan, showing that we could not meet our average water demand without severe water conservation measures if we did not have an additional source of water. I guess on the plus side is the Rancho North has been reduced. Originally it was over 1,100 lots, and Lakeview was never developed. Next. So the findings that the district needs to make under the Water Code, Section 350, grants the board the authority to declare a water shortage and emergency. The declaration is contingent upon findings that ordinary water demands cannot be satisfied without compromising essential water needs. This includes public health primarily, sanitation, fire, sanitation and fire issues. So, must find and determine the ordinary demands cannot be met without depleting the water supply to the point where it becomes insufficient for water consumption, primarily sanitation and fire demand. So we must be able to meet the basic demands of our customers as well as provide for fire protection, but fire flow. It includes both immediate existing water shortages and if we have a threatened future shortages. Reports do not require for us to wait until we actually have a shortage if we can see and anticipate that we will have a shortage based on future growth and the demands that we currently have in the supplies. The board, however, must... water supply, meaning the increasing demands, as the emergency is intended to be limited to the duration of the emergency. They're all good? So evidence of the insufficient water must be based on specific findings, history of the water demand, the water master plans, and other policy documents, engineer reports, hydrologists, all type of technical reports, and the future demand for water supply. It must be supported by insufficient water for essential uses, and we may also enact regulations and restrictions to address them. Next. The other thing I just want to briefly is the Subdivision Map Act, because the Rancho North project is currently 561 units is the proposal before the county. So I just want to highlight, as part of that process, we'll also need to complete a water supply assessment. This is required for any project with more than 500 dwelling units, or which increases by at least 10% the number of existing water connections. So in our case, the number is really around 300. We have about 3,000 connections right now, and 10% of that would be this is a report that would be prepared and approved by the district, and it would be paid for by the developer proposing the project. The county would be looking for written verification from the board that there is sufficient water supply from the public water system, in this case, Rancho Marietta. And we need to make specific evidence-supported findings that sufficient water supplies are or will be available prior to the completion of the subdivision. If the development will either in whole or part rely on groundwater, we also need to make a determination that that the groundwater is verified with the groundwater basin plan. Next. Next steps are to verify the data for the water demand and supply, ideally by an engineer, hydrologist, or some other equivalent. Commence an urban water management plan. Once the district has 3,000 connections, as I said, we've only got 1 year to complete it, and determine if the bundle rate, basically, if the mitigation needs can be increased. Next. Determine if the board wants to consider a water emergency. Right now, the future developments, except for those who have the will serve letters, are several years away from being shovel ready. We need to determine if we want to grandfather in the current will serve letters and any conservation measure that the district has taken. Next. And as part of this whole process, the district also needs to be looking at what the options are to augment the water supplies. So the district needs looking at costs, estimates of different options, including wells, Clementia, what the cost would be, water banking and enterprise systems, or even increasing the size of the reservoirs or a new reservoir. As far as the wells, I just want to highlight that we are in the process. Like I said, we've got a study from WSC. I think there are 6 sites on there, so we're looking at which sites we could do test wells and proceed with that and get estimates of the cost. That's it.
So moving forward, if it pleases the board, we'll hold our comments until after public comments, or if there's anybody who would like to comment now, we can do that and then move on to the public. Anybody want to stay?
I'm not here to talk about the subject itself. As general manager of the club, we have a occupancy capacity for this room. So at this point, for housekeeping purposes, we set up 200 chairs. So we need to make sure that if you have an empty one next to you, you put your hand up so that if there is space that somebody comes to take it, because all of the people sitting in the chairs in front of that exit door have got to move. And we need to maintain the aisleway down that side, down the middle, and down this side, clearly to get out through that door and the front doors. So as soon as we take care of that, and we stay at 250 or less in this room, we'll be okay. Until then, I guess I'll just stand here and use my 3 minutes up. All right. Hands up wherever you got an empty seat, or slide over. Make it happen. Thank you.
Okay. I guess we've done that. Can I have your attention, please? Thank you. Any board comments at this time, or we can reserve them until after public comment? Hearing none, we will do that. You want to go ahead, Diane, and call the public comment in order?
Yes, sir. Catherine Silvera.
I am Catherine Silvera. I'm a resident and a constituent. I'm not a water expert by any means, but I am concerned about the evidence you're using to rely on to make this decision. The law requires such evidence to be substantial and such that a reasonable person would rely on it. And I want the record to be very clear. Your meeting announcement says that while we historically relied on studies indicating sufficient supply from the Consumnes River and our reservoir system, the draft 2024 Integrated Water Master Plan has provided a necessary course correction in that it clarifies that RMCSD lacks adequate water to sustain the community during the draft conditions. Then you go to the legal opinion that your attorney has provided for you, that sole evidence cites is the draft 2024 report, not final, not adopted by the board, and not verified. Will the draft ever be finalized? Will it be adopted by the board? I think not, because apparently the person who wrote it was fired by the board. It is crazy. And even Director Merchant in a 2023 email acknowledges that severe economic impacts to this community from severe conservation of water. The Water Code 350 requires substantial evidence. What is that? It's reasonable, credible, and of solid value to support a water emergency declaration. While a draft report that you're relying on is tentative thinking, not final conclusion, may be revised, corrected, or abandoned, and especially when used without the author's testimony, lacks reliability. This is not going to stand up in court. Courts routinely find that drafts lack the indicia of reliability required for substantial evidence finding. We're tired of this board spending so much money on legal settlements and lawsuits. Imposition of a moratorium on water hookups is premature and will lead to costly lawsuits. Why not focus efforts on securing all of these issues that are in this paper that was on the seat, that were on our seat when we came in? Why, this is the board's responsibility. Why isn't this done? Why are we wasting all of our time and money?
Linda von Nerfeld?
You'll be next.
Yes, thank sir. You. My name is Peter Regan. I work here with Corey and Travis to keep the contractors straight and narrow. I've been doing doing underground construction for over 60 years. And I don't think there's anybody anywhere in Sacramento or Northern California that knows more about water, how to move it from one place to another than I do. While on my worker were driving around in the ballpark, I answer a lot of questions. I hear a lot of things. I hear a lot of ridiculous things. But I explain them. Pretty simple. But I heard at a board meeting in October, probably the most ridiculous thing. When asked, Travis was asked how full our lakes are on October 1st, he said 70%. Director's response was, believe that. Why don't you believe that? Because I got a tape measure. And I can stand on the dam and I can measure things. And I'm telling you, folks, there isn't 10 people in this room that can look at their backed up tape measure and tell me how much water is going to go in there. To do that, you got to get real comfortable with Pythagoras and Pi. And my father could. He was a great civil engineer. He would take the kids, my little sisters, weigh them, put them in the bathtub, tell my mom, he would check the pressure of the water pipes, tell my mom how long to run the water to fill it perfectly. And afterwards, he had a special discharge, way of discharging the water, because we have a septic tank in Fresno that the ground didn't perk very well, so he let it drain out over the course of the whole night. He was a little over the top. But he's the one that built those lakes. And he built them, the dams with his company Repco, and the operating engineers. Juan Stoll, I think, was the civil engineering firm that designed it. And he built those dams with a double core of clay, and he lined the whole, both of those lakes with at least a foot of clay. So they're never going to lose water. They're never going to seep out. And he built them to last, to hold about 3 years' supply of water. That's pretty close to what we get right now. October 1st of 2025, we had 70%. October 24, we had 65%. But that year,
your time is up, sir. Please finish your thoughts.
All right. Well, we had in 2020. Just let me real quick. 2024. We built. We had 65%, and we rough graded two subdivisions that were burning up about 450,000 gallons a day. We have plenty of water. We got plenty of water for 3 years. And we want to wait for a drought, another drought. The worst drought was ended in 2012 to 2016. It was the worst drought in California history. And the worst snowfall was in 2015. And still, we had no trouble filling those lakes. The amount of water
Linda von Nerva.
Good evening. We have a personal, professional, or financial interest in our water supply, all of us. And whether it can meet the needs of residents during drought and emergency circumstances, not just water, there are related issues, including our vulnerability to wildfires and our ability to evacuate. We all have well-founded fears of droughts and their impacts, population growth and demand for housing, as well as interest by developers, is happening in the face of static or decreasing water availability. The upshot has been mounting regulations that require development be balanced with resource availability. Development pressures have sometimes strained and even overwhelmed local water agencies, forcing growth ahead of water availability. Residents have increasingly turned to moratoriums for relief in the hopes of preserving their access to water. But moratoriums can't solve a water insufficiency. And some posters on Destination Rancho Marietta have justifiably stated, while the building moratorium doesn't solve water problems, it can certainly prevent those problems from becoming even worse. Perhaps their highest value is that they focus the attention of every stakeholder or potential stakeholder on the critical nature of our water supplies and the need to maintain a balance between supply and demand if our community is to grow and prosper. There's no simple economic or ready resolution of our problems. Not water wells nor wishes will do. We all have to accept this hard fact. We understand that CSD overestimated our water capacity in the past and made commitments further development that will eventually lead to serious water cutbacks for everyone when, and not if, the next drought comes along. This miscalculation should serve as a warning to them and everyone else that development must be tied to quantifiable evidence of resource availability. If evidence doesn't meet a high threshold of confidence, development decisions must be based on worst case, not best case scenarios. It's reckless to do otherwise. No one individual or agency is entitled to take risks that might create harm to others. In summary, you officers of the CSD have an ethical, legal, and professional duty of care to this community. Increasing the number of users at the expense of those who are already here or do business here jeopardizes us all and violates that duty. Thank you.
Judy Bernal and Michael Flanagan.
And please
speak directly into the microphone. Judy Bernal and then Michael Flanagan.
My name is Judy Bernal. I was one of the first residents, or the first time I was a resident in Rancho Marietta was in the late 1980s. During that time, as you can imagine, we've had many changes since then. I lived on the back of the circle in phase three and only had three houses on my street. So no offense, I think it's kind of funny when everybody's so worried about more houses. We were right there at the beginning, and I always think if I said, don't move in on my street, none of you would be here. So anyway, at that time, I moved forward with the confidence that the changes in the community would be done properly and, like the other woman said, legally and ethically. And this is due to the confidence that I had in the developer, who was Mr. Fred Anderson, their family, and currently Carol Anderson Ward. I begin with being grateful. This is over now in 50 years. Carol, the vision provided by your father, Fred Anderson, and his team, setting forth a plan for a community like no other, allowing a quality of life, including a multi-generational opportunities for grandparents, parents, children, and grandchildren to coexist. We now have a Christian church, a Catholic church, and a full-scale grocery store. The first evening I moved into my home, I left at 8 o'clock to Rancho Cordova because I had no groceries and there was no store. The additional actual benefits of this community, including additions of the hotel, the restaurant, the beautiful custom homes that people were allowed to build, the fire department proximity, which actually allows for lower fire insurance. Fourth of July, Easter eggs, as you know, and the concerts at the lake. As my last item, I do have to request the downsides of the moratorium. On a new water connection is one of the most powerful actions a district can take. It affects, if we have this over us, it affects property rights, lending, the equity in everybody's home.
Your time is up. Please finish your thoughts.
Development, and that can be legally challenged. And just today, yesterday I had an article that says that California really 100% drought free for the first time in 25 years. You can take a look at that. And I do ask you to give respect to Carol Anderson as she cares for, in the most ethical way, all the efforts to make this the home that we all love and cherish. Thank you very much.
Michael Flanagan, followed by Carol Souza.
My name is Mike Flanagan. I've lived here in Rancho Murrieta since 1986. The history regarding how Rancho Murrieta's water shortfall problems began bears repeating. In 1973, Rancho Murrieta's environmental impact report specifically stated that at full build-out, Rancho Murrieta would have 53% undisturbed vegetation in addition to the lakes, golf courses, parks, etc. Rancho Murrieta was designed to be a designated golfing resort, retirement community with small lots and homes and limited landscaping. Things have changed. Even without additional development, Rancho Murrieta has significantly less undisturbed vegetation than originally planned. However, California's severe drought in the late 70s was the game changer. The Cosumnes River flows were so low that CSD spent the 76 to 77 pumping season unable to draw water to fill the reservoirs. The 1977 drought made clear that the planned emergency backup water supply, which was the release of water held by the El Dorado Irrigation District in Sly Park Reservoir to the Cosumnes River, would not work. During the drought, the El Dorado Irrigation District did not have the needed water in Sly Park, and if it had, the released water would not have reached Murrieta due to the river being dry. Rancho Murrieta has been without an emergency backup water supply ever since. In 1980, Lake Caleros' capacity was expanded. Unfortunately, the shortfall remained. By 1989, CSD completed a study determining how many homes the existing water supply could safely support. The answer was 1,800 dwellings. When the early developers heard this news, they were enraged and sued CSD, claiming a loss of value due to insufficient water to develop their land. Over the next few months, additional studies were completed, each increasing the number of homes that could be built. Finally, a number acceptable to the developers was reached and the lawsuit was settled. Simply changing the study assumptions allowed the CSD to approximately double the number of homes that the existing water supply is safe to support. Thank you.
Carol Souza, followed by Jeff Berkheimer. Carol Souza, followed by Jeff Berkheimer. Jeff Bertheimer. And Cheryl McElhaney will be next.
Board members, thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight.
Water?
Better? All right. So I think the biggest concern I have right now is a water emergency requires there to be an immediate and imminent proven lack of resources for projects on the books and in front of this district. Rancho North does not even have a pending application for development for CSD at this point. And your attorney explicitly laid out tonight that this board will get to weigh in on Rancho North under the subdivision map. So unless this moratorium is intended to stop Riverview or the residences build out, there is not a documented emergency. And stopping those developments when they already have invested tens of millions of dollars and have will serve letters would be unimaginable. This board has not adopted and finalized the updated water management plan. You don't have any defensible numbers to base any findings on at this point from the 2024 study. But looking past that, like I've said in previous board meetings, and I'll say it again tonight, this district very likely is going to be needing to invest somewhere between $25 and $100 million in infrastructure to meet its regulatory and contractual obligations, as well as the basic upkeep of an aging and deteriorated system. You don't know if you need wells, water banking, and inner ties spanning 5 to 10 miles. All you know is that you will be legally required to address existing regulatory requirements, and no regulatory body is going to exempt this community from meeting the statutory requirements just because you think it's expensive. That's not how regulations work. You're going to desperately need access to affordable working capital. If you act recklessly on this item and get tangled up in litigation, your costs will very likely skyrocket, and your access to working capital will be threatened. Many people in this audience think stopping development will stop or reduce the need for these massive infrastructure investments. That's unfortunately not the case. I would strongly encourage this body to carefully weigh the risk-reward of this vote, because if you're wrong, you'll potentially be adding tens of millions of dollars to the bill we ratepayers are on the hook to pay, and it will be for nothing. I'll also point out the cruel irony of you holding the meeting tonight in this venue, because a moratorium will very likely be the nail in the coffin of this country club as the community currently knows it. I'll close my comments tonight with a message to our community. If this board isn't meeting your expectations, you have to get involved. Logical, pragmatic people need to run for these seats coming up. If no one votes for change, then the only guaranteed outcome is that you won't get it.
Yep. Cheryl McElhaney. Okay. And forgive me on this one. MJ Badigot? You're passing?
Uh-huh.
Jeff Pearson. Followed by Pat Dunn.
It's like hard for the old eyes.
No, it doesn't work. Speak in the microphone. Could you please restart his clock when he begins speaking?
Okay. I'm Jeff Pearson, I'm a project manager for Rancho Marietta Properties, and I also work for Marietta Industrial Center. I manage the Cosumnes Irrigation Association also. Ms. Renwright is probably already up there wanting some of my binders. Not tonight. I've probably spent more time than most over the last few years concerning myself with the groundwater well research water augmentation, groundwater recharge, and the hydrological studies in the area. I've worked with CSD, County of Sacramento, Department of Water Resources, RD 800, Slough House, RCD, and a lot of different engineers. The most important thing that I've discovered during my research is that there's been consistent efforts since 1988 by the district, local landowners, to work together to develop a groundwater resource to augment the single source water supply to the district. Among those, we've got a 1988 through about 1995 effort that was undertaken between the Andersons and CSD. We've got a 2002 effort done between Snyder and CSD. And we've got a fairly sustained 2012 to 2018 effort that was undertaken between the Andersons and CSD. I'll focus between the two efforts between the Andersons and CSD because they're the most significant. During each of these efforts, need was identified, consultants were hired, test wells were drilled, agreements were made and signed between the stakeholders, significant money and resources were spent for these efforts. According to the numerous engineering firms and hydrogeologists reflected here, the groundwater resource exists. The most important thing, next most important thing that I discovered is that each effort was stopped by CSD before production wells could be placed. These efforts, conservatively, were probably $2.5 million in 30 years. And the thing that these share, along with the draft 2024 Integrated Water Master Plan, is that all of them were halted before a deliverable was met. Please don't vote to stop again. We have momentum. We have a willing landowner. We have a willing group within the district that's working on it. Let's move forward and solve this problem.
Pat Dunn, followed by Jeff Colhardy.
One second, Jeff. Jeff, in that binder that is going to legal counsel, is there any more explanation on how it was halted or by who?
In all of my analysis, it ends at the negotiations and the document with the district, each and every one.
And Jeff, what years were these?
The most significant two were between 1988 and 1995, and the other one was between 2012 and 2018.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Pat Dunn. I'm a hydrogeologist from Folsom. I'm right in your backyard. I've been here for a very long time, and I continue to be. The company that Dunn Environmental that I have is now owned by NV5, which is Nolte Vertical 5. They have a lot of resources in the area. A lot of groundwater resource studies that I've been doing for quite a long time. So from I specialize, I'm a certified hydrogeologist, been doing this again for a long time in Folsom, know the area really well, know the situation, and basically I've been trying to find metal-free water for people, as well as looking at asset management for consolidation of water districts throughout California. I'm all over doing work in consolidation of water districts, a big deal that's happening. That's where a lot of money is coming from in regards to the Groundwater Sustainable Act. Sigma, which came out in 2014. So this document that we put together, we put test holes in, we did geophysics, extensive amount of work, did all the specifications. We're ready to drill. Had indications from drillers how much it would be. We had Domenic Kelly do the specifications for equipping the wells. If you flip through that document, you know, we knew the geology really well, and we still do. And every one of the documents, I've counted 15 documents since 1988 to 2000, now 26, probably 16 documents that actually reference investigations that have been completed or water supply assessments and master plans. So if they flip through, you can see some of the hydrogeologic cross sections that have been done. We understand what groundwater resource, how resilience can be brought to a water supply program by having groundwater. And it's been reaffirmed in all those 15 documents. And from this, from the 2014 document that's referenced here forward, we have quite a few. This is the investigation was done there, and now there's the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act required that the whole basin be studied. GSP, Groundwater Sustainability Plan, and the district has committed already, and there is a groundwater model that says you have a well. So it's amazing. And also in the GSP, the Groundwater Sustainability Plan, it's referencing 6,100 acres. I don't know if these documents, if we have conflicting documents that show that you have another 2,000 acre feet. What happened to the 2,000 acre feet or 2,500 acre feet of water? Where is the surface water needs to be verified? The water rights need to be verified, and then of course groundwater is a supplement. Everywhere you see yellow and colors of gravel, you can estimate you're going to have a well that's going to 300 GPM, which back then we had a 600 acre feet requirement. It was well documented. It was financed by the state of California. 2014, we put in two wells to come up with 600 acre to address your drought concerns. So this issue has come up, and it's another seven documents after this document was issued. Another seven documents since then. Every other year, there's been a document that's been either a master plan that's been said, or another study has been said, groundwater's good, we can use it, show resilience in your water system. I look forward to helping however I can help. As you can see, I'm a little frustrated. You hear all these things and how it continues, and you start documenting the fact that there's 15 documents that show the groundwater sustainability.
Mr.
Groundwater use.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Dunn, excuse me. Do we have access to these documents?
Yes. There is your record. I presented it to your board. It was all that effort, all the effort you see here was paid for by RMCSD.
It's in the packet, though. Bonnie Snelling, followed by Janice Eckhart.
Good evening. Just my first meetings here, just listening to all the various points of view here. This seems to be two parties here. You know, one, I think the Solis party,
Solis
party members, and also the ones that just feel like something's amok, not on the up and up here. I'm one of those. What I'm hearing from the person that Peter, I believe his name, that felt these lights, and the amount of water that is used seems like it can well support this community for numerous years. Catherine, her name was, but She presented some facts that were new to me, and I'd like to research it. The documents that you've presented up to here tonight, has that been provided to anybody?
They're all posted on our website under board meetings.
To the community, has that presentation that was presented earlier, has that been presented to the community for review?
Yes. On the website.
In full, in complete.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't see it. It seems like we are the board is presenting this as though it's a surprise that this build out that is right behind our house. It's I think it was originally scheduled for 1,000, a little over 1,000. And the developer has spent over $10 million, I believe, putting in all of the product. How is it you're now, just now, saying, oh, halt the project? It's to me, it's short-sighted that we are halting expanding our community to the tune of, I believe, our operating budget is about $8.3 million for CSD, or somewhere around there, $8 million. And so that...
Thank you for your comment. Please finish your thoughts, ma'am.
I will. We're looking at possibly expanding our income here by about $3 million a year, which is a significant increase that we can at least take care of some of these issues now and moving forward. Don't shake your head, please. And it will prevent us from having further lawsuits that this board has caused this community, and we have had a bleed of money going out the door because of lawsuits, and that one is going to be a huge lawsuit. You have already approved it. It can't be stopped. You need to make...
Thank you for your comments, ma'am. Your time is up. Janice Ecker, followed by Jean Schwinn.
Hi. It's been said that I should stop focusing on study inaccuracies and work for a solution. No. If the CSD board determines how much additional water is needed in the case of a shortfall based on the inaccurate 2024 study, then the community will be at risk of running out of water. Have you noticed that since I exposed the shortfall in 2006, 20 years ago, not one person has ever provided any written proof that my claim was inaccurate. Even the very optimistic 2024 study states there's a shortfall. However, attempts to discredit me have been ongoing. Dismissive comments like, she's just anti-development, or she's misinformed. No, I am not. I have read and analyzed every CSD study written from 1989 on. I've also read the reservoir and pumping permits, well reports, river studies, reservoir surveys, etc., and my findings have been reviewed and have been confirmed by regulatory agencies and water experts. I am informed. Here are the facts. One, every CSD study completed in the past 36 years has shown more water available than exists. Two, Rancho Manor lacks adequate water and reservoir storage capacity to sustain the community through a severe drought. Three, Rancho Manor lacks sufficient treated water storage capacity to support the existing community and already approved development should a large fire occur during a high water usage period. Four, Rancho Manor has been without an emergency backup water supply for almost 50 years. 5. Recent drone surveys determined that all CSD studies overestimated Ranch Meadows water supply. 6. Lake Clementia's capacity has been included when calculating potable water supply numbers, which the permits do not allow. 7. Studies from 1990 on use a 50% drought conservation rate. The Department of Public Health and the county peer review both stated when planning for future development that rate is too aggressive, placing the community at risk of running out of water. 8. The 2024 study's future recycled water supply number is a mathematical impossibility, making that assumption unachievable. 9. Studies since 2006 rely on the flashboard capacity of the reservoirs, which the Department of Public Health has stated when planning for future development is not an acceptable practice. 10. Studies from 1990 on did not use an industry standard method of calculating water usage. 11. Studies 2006 on did not use the Department of Water Resources recommended PAM when computing the reservoir's evaporation seepage rate.
Your time is up, ma'am. Please finish your thoughts.
Okay. Just one last comment then. Ranch Ready needs to know how many homes can be safely supported by the existing water supply, and taking a pause to get this right by issuing a water emergency is a step in the right direction. Thank you.
Jean Schwinn, followed by Tony Beloved. Tony Beloved, followed by Bonnie. Overall.
Good evening. My name is Tony Velez. I've been a resident of Rancho Marietta for over 40 years and have been involved in the development of Rancho Marietta for 13. The board should be very careful in voting in favor of tonight's resolution. We, the developers, have been very willing to help solve the water solution throughout the years that Rancho Marietta has been in existence. We, along with the district, started well augmentation projects since 1988. Some progression was made throughout the years and got to the point of test wells. In 2012, thereabouts, the district was granted over $500,000 by the state to assist with water augmentation. And for whatever reason, the project stopped. The remaining funds were allocated to a different fund instead of being used for its intended purpose. Now here we are in 2026, and the test well solution has reappeared. The district formed the Water Vision Group and has tasked them in solving the water problems. WSC has been hired by the district to find suitable well sites. We, the developers, have also hired the previous contractor, NV5, Patrick Dunn, to continue with the well study and validate the findings. Our hope is that this water augmentation project is successful and the district satisfies their requirements under SB 552. But here's what I'm fearful of. I'm fearful the district will vote in favor of the water moratorium. With it will come legal battles. In my experience, there has never been any positive outcome. Just a lot of money being spent between two parties. The project then gets stalled, and the district continues to try to find a solution that goes on forever. The district needs our help in solving some of these problems. Without us, these problems will most likely not be resolved. The land where the wells will be located is owned by the developers. The district needs our help to be granted easements and obtain the rights to drill the wells. The land where the most suitable location or a 2.5 million gallon water tank is owned by us. You need our help to purchase and gain access to this land in order to construct the tank. Many of the streets are private, many of which are owned by us. The district needs easements to gain access to these streets. Without our permission, it will be difficult for the district to gain access. The tertiary water that the water district produces, that the district produces, is played on the golf course property that is owned by us. The district needs our assistance to be able to continue with this process. The open space that the community has access to is open space that is owned by us. We allow the community to enjoy the trails in open space.
Thank you for your comments. Please finish your thoughts.
We are not the problem. We are part of the solution. Without us, some of the solutions the district is seeking would be very difficult to fulfill. We are here to work with the district and prefer not to fight legal battles. The district needs to stop wasting the ratepayers' money. Set your personal differences aside. Think clearly of the consequences you're about to impose onto the community. The economic impact that will be negatively affected us all will not be good. Rancho Murrieta will soon become a community filled with strife. You control that destiny with your vote. We, the developers, are here to help and work with you. Let's make that happen.
Bonnie Berberall and Corrine Drummond.
Hi, my name is Bonnie Burberry. Pronounced Burberry. As far as I know, Lake Clementia is not permitted for potable water use. It would take several permits and several years to get that changed. And from what I understand, CSD deeded Lake Clementia over to RMA. RMA apparently owns the rights to Lake Clementia, and we would have to deal with them also to get it back to be able to use, even though right now it's not considered potable water. Thank you.
Curry Dryman, followed by Cindy Price.
All CSD studies 1990 on raised the drought conservation rate from industry standard rate of 1520 up to 50%. A 50% conservation rate includes no exterior watering. Conservation level was established by an agreement with the developers in 1990. The agreement has expired and is no longer binding on CSD. The latest study assumes some form of conservation begins with lake levels dropped to 95% of capacity. In other words, the community will be under drought restriction almost year-round, including years of heavy rainfall. The Sacramento County ordered review of Rancho Murrieta's water study states, and I quote, drought planning assumes an aggressive drought rationing target of 50%. If this program is not achieved, there may not be enough supply to serve the community during a severe drought scenario, end of quote. Review goes on to say that conservation rates greater than 25% result in the loss of vegetation and create a financial hardship on the community. CSD's latest study does not include the financial cost on the community for this measure or address how the restrictions would be implemented or enforced. A 2010 Department of Public Health letter written to the CSD warns that the 50% conservation rate is too aggressive and places the community at a risk of running out of water. The 2024 study states, quote, and the level of planning to 50% reduction is needed to meet the requirement of California Water Code, section 10632, end quote. This statement was incorporated to initially mislead the reader. Water Code 10632 requires districts have a plan in place to reduce usage 40 to 50% in response to an existing drought. The regulation does not apply when planning for future development. For planning purposes, the industry standard conservation rate is 15 to 20%. In other words, you would never plan development that creates a financial hardship and places the community at risk for running out of water. Like so many of you, I support adopting a water shortage.
Thank you. Cindy
Craig,
followed by Corrine Drummond.
followed by Michelle Kyle.
Hello, my name is Cindy Price. I was living in the open hills in 1991 when the fire broke out. 25 people died. Houses were consumed in under an hour. 762 houses consumed by fire in under an hour. It was horrible. My concern is evacuation. I live as far away from the gate as you possibly can. And the only other gate we have is the Stonehouse Gate, which if it got open, great. But if it didn't, how many people would be trying to get out of here? Adding more homes means adding more traffic, adding to the fear that other people will not be able to get out in a major fire. That's my concern. Thank you.
Michelle Kyle, followed by Frank Randolph.
Mr. Merchant.
Hi.
Can you please confirm that this letter is accurate? The district includes the residences and Riverview in the current population, that they are entitled to receive water services from the district should water be available. You are not subject to the emergency declaration. This does not, however, resolve the situation around the obligations of the residents have to identify the district from the 670 FSA agreement, whatever it is. Okay. This was in January 12, 2026. So can you please confirm that this is the case?
Wait, this is not a question and answer. This is public comment.
Okay, that's fine.
At the end of public comment, we'll address
you can't see that
question.
Bad timing. Okay.
Feel free to use it.
Frank Randolph, followed by Ellen Moschel. Frank Randolph. Okay. Ellen Moschel.
Good evening. My name is Ellen Moschel, not Michelle. I haven't gotten that one before. I'm an attorney with the firm Somax Simmons & Dunn, and I'm here on behalf of Rancho Marietta Properties today. We are all here because this is a critical issue. It has significant practical and legal consequences that will affect the community and the district, and therefore must be seriously considered before the board takes any action. We submitted a comment letter this afternoon, which I will not repeat. However, in addition to our written comments, there are several other key points to consider regarding the text of the proposed resolution. First, the findings in the resolution do not meet the legal standards set by Water Code Section 350. The board's emergency declaration must be based on specific findings and supported by evidence of insufficient water for essential uses. The resolution falls short of this standard. It finds only that supplies will not reliably meet demands during undefined periods of sustained drought, and it relies only, based on the text of the findings of the resolution, on the draft integrated water master plan and the work group conclusions. We have detailed several issues with these materials in today's letter, which I will not repeat here. I emphasize, however, that they do not provide adequate evidence to legally support a finding by the board as proposed in the resolution. Critically, the resolution does not acknowledge any of the serious data issues in the draft plan, despite the fact that some of these deficiencies were at least acknowledged in the district's presentation today. Second, the effect of the proposed resolution is fatally ambiguous. Under resolution number 2, it states that the restrictions in this resolution are effective immediately. However, there are no actual restrictions imposed in the regulation. Does it recognize that declaring an emergency authorizes the district to impose regulations or restrictions? Yes, it does. Does it specify any actual restrictions? It certainly does not. All the resolution does is purport to declare an emergency and commit the district to review unidentified options to expand its water supply. Given these shortcomings, the proposed resolution, if adopted, is wholly inadequate and unreliable, rendering the legal effect and adequacy of the resolution to be dubious at best. To the members of the board, we urge you to vote no on the resolution before you tonight. At minimum, this vote must be delayed until the public has sufficient time to review the supporting packet and the voluminous materials contained therein, many of which are highly technical in nature, that this district purports to rely on as evidence to support its actions. The district has discussed the possibility of declaring an emergency for years. As staff noted in the presentation, development is still years from being shovel-ready. There is simply no reason, other than to stifle the public's ability to meaningfully participate, to now provide only 2 business days to review these materials and respond to the same. For all of the reasons that I have covered tonight, in addition to our letter, if the district does decide to adopt this resolution, it will do so in violation of the law, and it will face the consequences.
Tom Shusha, followed by Jim Sarah.
So thank you, Tom Shuchuk. I've been a resident here for 35 years, and for the last year and a half, I've been attending all the CSD board meetings, and as you all know, all the improvement committee meetings. So I've also been following all the online discussions and the pros and cons from both sides. I talk to people who are pro-emergency. I talk to people who are anti-water declaration emergency. And I understand all the data that CSD has pretty well. I'm a data guy. I want to thank CSD for providing all the what I call preliminary info contained in the package. Interesting that the draft IMP, IWMP is included that hasn't been accepted by the board. Yet it is used in Mr. Enright's presentation with all the options documented in the IWMP on how to address the water concerns. The Dunn Well study from 2014 that everybody now knows that hasn't been acted upon for the last 12 years. And towards the end of the packet, there's an unreviewed SB 552 calculation that suggests that current residents might have to pay for 4 groundwater wells. So I surely hope when we have a final recommendation from a water consultant, it's only 2 groundwater wells and we can reduce that expense by half. So while all of this information is great, it doesn't appear that the board has sufficient approved information to make a responsible decision today. So that I hope that this board will continue to refine and approve the needed information before it renders the decision. In the meantime, I hope CSD and the developer can continue to make progress on groundwater wells, the new water tanks, and Lake Clementia repermitting. I also hope the community can band together to start looking at water usage, because most of us in the community don't know how much water we use. Okay? That's a fact. And we should be focused on reducing our 8 average daily demand so that we don't have to pay for as many SB 552 required wells when the time comes to build them. I pledge my support to help CSD and the community to develop solutions to these water concerns. Let's all work together to solve these. Thank you.
Jim Farrell, followed by Steve Booth.
First, I'd like to thank the board for keeping us all informed and involved in this process. I think probably more than most, with the exception of Tom, yeah, I've been kind of a fixture of most of these board and committee meetings that we talked about this water issue. I wrapped up my career in charge of long-term strategic planning for large organizations and hospitals and clinics all across Northern California. So I was kind of interested in seeing how we did this with water. All good plans start with data. And we've got a lot of data here. And I know there are some people who think that there isn't enough data. Let me assure you, there is enough data. One of the problems is we don't necessarily agree on some of the pieces of the data. And then there are also those people who totally distrust the data. Let me read you from the petition that got circulated last year with more than 2,000 signatures on it. We, the undersigned members of the Ranch Marietta community, will not support the findings of the IWMP until it is fully audited, fact-checked, peer-reviewed for accuracy and viability. So when then-President Booth set up a work group to look into these concerns, I was asked and agreed to participate in that work group. And we put together a report. It is part of your package. And many of you who I've heard comments from tonight, read the report, read the work report. You'll have answers, I think, to some of your questions, or you will see that we have raised the same questions that you're raising. So I've encouraged you to do that. So I can't get into that report. I just want to make three quick comments because I can see my clock is ticking here. First of all, based on the best data that we have available, this community will run out of water if we are confronted with another severe drought. That is going to affect not just water, but water safety. We don't want to end up like Palisades with hydrants that don't work and reservoirs that are empty. Second, I don't see how we can ever come up with any kind of solutions or real plan, including the finances, until we get our heads together on this data and resolve these issues and come to a common ground. If we don't do that, we're going to end up with things like wells that don't get drilled, 15-year recycling misadventures that never really produce any more water, or we're going to be out drilling wells, not even understanding or agreeing upon how much water we're looking for. And so my last third point then is that board members, as well-intended as you are, you can't solve this problem. You can't solve this problem because in many ways there's a lot of division that's recognized in the community, and it leaves many of us wondering who's really making decisions in the best interest of this community. You need to get a third party advisor, consultant here to help you get to some common ground so you can approach this in a common way. But also I would encourage you to go one step further, and that would be bring them on board as like an account executive or something like that, so you've got somebody to help you not only with the planning things that need to be done, but also the plan execution things. Because a plan is not enough. You've got to execute it. So I'm just going to end with, I know my time's up, so I don't want to sound like an alarmist, but we've been put on notice almost 2 years ago that this is a problem. We need to kind of move forward now.
Steve Booth, followed by Brad Beer.
Good evening, thank you. Numbers regarding available water have been revised since the last IWMP, reflecting more accurate calculations for storage capacity in each reservoir and projected usage. These numbers have been widely accepted by individuals on each side of this issue. The data demonstrate there is not sufficient water supply to support the projected build-out pending before Sacramento County. We should hope for the best and prepare for the worst. In this regard, unless and until additional water sources are confirmed and pursued, a backup supply confirmed and other regulatory requirements met, any development of property that is not already entitled pursuant to a will serve letter should be precluded, and those efforts should be accelerated. The premise that more housing is needed to support the country club is a non sequitur. We have more homes now than ever have existed in Rancho Murrieta, and the country club has near lowest membership ever. Additionally, the district engineer has reported that the Rio Oso storage tank will not support the 197 properties approved for the residences. Unless this shortfall is remedied by either cross-patching between Rio Oso and the Van Vleck tanks, or an additional tank or tanks are in place, that development should be restricted at the number identified by Mr. Domenichel. Thank you.
Brad Beer, followed by Carol Panzo.
Prenzo.
Carol Prenzo.
I didn't write anything down, but I've been listening to this ordeal for some time now. About water out here. And, you know, California, going back centuries, is an arid state, and water's always been. But it's not going to be solved by reactionary issues, reactionary finding. It's proactive. It needs to be proactive by everybody in this room. We're all here. We all live here. We need to work together. But the best effort that we can put forward here tonight is to continue this on and everybody work together to solve the problem instead of causing more roadblock. Because I've seen this board spend countless, probably millions of dollars, the legal fees, all this other stuff in the past, and it won't accomplish a thing. So all I'm saying is, I've got 100 acres out there. I've got friends in this room with that property out here too, to drill, wells or help any way we can. But it won't get solved by just stopping and, stalling. And the solution is in this room. So let's take advantage of that. I mean, everybody in this room, there's some good minds in this room. There's consultants. We don't need to go down this path to stop. So what I'm saying is, I would just reconsider this moratorium. And let's just find a way to go forward together, not be secular. And that's really what I have to say. We all need water. We all want fire protection. We all want our kids to grow up and be safe. So all I'm saying is, let's work together, not call divisiveness. We don't need that. So that's it.
Thank you. Carol Prenzo, followed by Jeff
Mulhardy. Good evening. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I've kind of changed what I'm going to say after everyone else has spoken. I'm glad to hear that there's a water guru in Folsom out here to help us figure out where the well water is, because all the past studies that CSD has done looking for well water have been fruitless. We've spent a ton of money and got nothing for it. The last well study that was conducted, their report was submitted on December 15th of 25. And it shows that five wells were dug, although I'm hearing now that there were six. I don't know about the six. But between the five that I know about, the rate of gallons per minute ranges from 5 to 400. We need a whole lot more than that, or probably a dozen wells, get that as a secondary water source beside the Cosumnes River. And then where are you going to put it? We need a new reservoir. We need another gallon water tank. The people in this room have the answers. The people in this room are willing to work together. I'm hearing that tonight for the very first time. And I thank them for that, because that's what I've been hounding on. I feel like a broken record on that. This community deserves to have a safe, reliable, and resilient water supply. The cost of that problem that has been handed down to us should not be on the backs of this community. This community deserves nothing less. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff Mulhardy and Candace Hearn.
Candace Hearn and Leah Smith. It's hard to read the first name.
Okay, it's obvious that Rancho Marietta has serious water issues to be dealt with. This is without saying. We need to sit together at the table to find the solution. A pause is needed for this to happen. We cannot resolve the matter until we know how much additional water is needed to safely support existing and future homes. During my discussion, I'm going to make reference to a water term, the flashboard or top log capacity of the reservoirs. Flashboards or stop logs are temporary boards placed in the reservoir spillways to increase capacity. CSD studies after 1990 assume that the reservoirs are their flashboard or stop log capacity going into a drought. Here's why that assumption is not considered an acceptable practice when planning for future development. It's prudent water policy to fill this additional reservoir capacity annually whenever possible. However, there are conditions when doing so may be unachievable. Rancho Marietta's reservoirs and the Cozumel River pumping permits all contain restrictions. Creating a limited window of time when this capacity can be filled. Flashboards must remain out until April 16th each year, and the river pumping must stop at May 31st. This means there's only 6 weeks out of the entire year that the flashboard can be filled to capacity. Rancho has been able to do that most years, but not always. CSD Cozumel River pumping permit has limitations in place. The river must flow at a minimum of 7 cubic feet per second at Michigan Bar Pumping Station all the way down to McConnell Pumping Station. Therein lies the problem. Historically, the Cozumel River was a gaining river, where the river fed the groundwater. Years of overdrafting surface and groundwater have depleted the aquifers located under the river, forcing the stream to go underground.
Your time is up, ma'am. Please finish your thoughts.
I'm sorry?
I said your time is up. Please finish your thoughts.
Okay. I have lots more thoughts, though. Okay, well, what we're finding is that, again, the Public Department of Health and Ken Giberson, who did the earlier studies, both said that relying on flashboard capacity of the reservoirs is not an acceptable practice when planning for future development. In other words, if CSD plans on developer homes but rely on the reservoir's flashboard capacity and the water isn't available, there will be a shortfall.
Thank you so much for your time.
My name is Lisa Smith. It's spelled weird. I know. Blame my mother. So, in doing all this research, a lot of these that go to the water resource board, I followed that. I went to the Water Resource Board. The Water Resource Board led me to the Department of Water Resources, and they talked extensively about how the Consumers River is sinking, going underground, and the water is not available. It's filling aquifers, and the 2026 project that the Department of Water Resources is doing requires the aquifers to be filled from the Consumers River and to go downstream to keep the habitat alive, which is going to deplete what we're going to be able to get. So our ability to draw off the Consumers, the way I look at it, I think it might be in question. And we're already on a very short period of when we can draw from. So that's my concern. And yet I haven't seen any of that discussed in any of the stuff that you see on Nextdoor or Facebook, which I'm not even on, but there's certainly stuff that's been in all the discussions in the community. And that's what I'm bringing forward is I want to know, I want to see more about the Department of Water Resources, Project 26, that is going to probably restrict some of our ability to draw off the river.
Thank you. Javier, followed by Mike Metzger.
My name is Javier Lopez. I've lived here since 1979, and I'm going to address mainly the information which the board spoke about, which they projected onto the screen. If my understanding, if I heard you correctly, there is approximately 3,900 acre feet of water available to service the community. And you stated that at the present time, there's 2,922 services, and with a projected increase to 3,200. Now, if I take those numbers being accurate and true, then that means that we're allowing approximately 1 acre feet of water per residence. 1 acre feet of water is 326,000 gallons. Now, I don't know whether how much the average consumption is here in the community, but if I allow 100,000 gallons a year, 8,000 gallons a month, that still leaves quite an excess. Now, all this to say that either the numbers that were presented are misleading or they're not as accurate as they should be. I don't know what the emergency situation is for our water shortage, but I would suggest that the numbers be looked over again. And I would like to leave my last comment with the statement about drilling wells. Now, a 2 to 3 million gallon tank sounds like it's a whole lot of water. That's 8 acre feet. And that's Lake Clementia holds 850 acre feet. So that would, Lake Clementia holds 100 times more than a 2 or 3 million gallon tank would hold. So I would strongly suggest that these figures be looked over again as to the cost of what the wells would cost and the infrastructure to take that water from the wells to be distributed. It's going to be much more than I think than the community would be willing to support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Metzger, followed by Michael Mazzaro.
All right, ladies and gentlemen of the board and my fellow Rancho Marietta neighbors, thank you. My name is Mike Metzger, and my family and I moved to the north side in 2022. And like every parent raising their kids here, 2 daughters, 2 and 4, I want a community that's safe, stable, and built on facts, not fear. I'm here because we're facing a problem that's clearly been ignored for 35 years, and tonight that stops. I want to acknowledge the concerns of the Solos group gathering 2,000 signatures calling for a moratorium based on a draft water plan. Their passion is real, their concerns are real, but the petition also proves the real issue. We depend on one river, and the backup water supply we were promised decades ago still does not exist. A moratorium won't build wells, a moratorium won't create water. A moratorium is simply a pause on progress and a green light for decline. In 1990, the district's own Giberson report adopted its policy 90-2, said the Consumas River can support just over 3,900 homes, not the 5,968 were built for. The policy committed CSD to take reasonable and timely steps to build additional supply and storage. That promise wasn't optional. It was the basis for every home approved, every fee charged, every project allowed to move forward. The community upheld its side of the deal. The district has not. Board members, I have to ask you directly, isn't it true the district identified this water shortfall back in 1990? Isn't it true the district committed in writing to adding storage, wells and storage and water augmentation at that time? And isn't it true that those commitments remain completely unfulfilled after 35 years? The fees we've all paid, developers have poured millions into water supply augmentation fund, and ultimately the homeowners bear those costs. $2.2 million in the fund CSD had in 2016, plus $5 million more projected with a $500,000 state grant. We paid for wells, we paid for backup supplies, we paid for the system that should already be protecting us today. The money was collected, the work wasn't completed, full stop. The wells that never happened, we've talked a lot about them tonight. 2013 test holes had positive results. 2014, 2015 RFPs. 2016, another attempt planned, and after that, silence. A decade of total inaction, while the community assumed progress was being made. This is not a water shortage. This is a leadership shortage. The draft ILEC. IWMP, the moratorium is being pushed using a draft report that's unverified, unstamped, and unprofessional from a liability standpoint. In my 20 years in CRE and development, reviewing environmental reports, drafts carry zero weight. If the data is real, finalize it. If it's not, stop using it to scare people. The moratorium doesn't protect us, it harms us immediately. Home values fall 10 to 20% overnight, insurance costs jump, or coverage disappears. The country clubs collapses, the half-built retail center doesn't get built out. We cannot survive on zero growth. Our taxes and fees are going to rise as lawsuits mount.
Thank you for your comments. Our community
gets branded as a no-growth dead zone. Hunting schools, businesses, and families. We don't need a moratorium, we need execution. We need a better path forward. Developers.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Michael Mazur and Bob Tyler.
Good evening, Michael Mazur, Rancho Maria North. No community is risk-free, especially when it comes to essential resources like water. Good decisions are rarely made under urgency, but they are almost always consequential. Reliable infrastructure is one of the quiet foundations of a stable community. A core responsibility is to understand future needs and help ensure we are prepared. The residents are never caught off guard by decisions that are difficult to reverse. Major infrastructure decisions shape communities for decades, and when they're long, consequences are felt for decades. Thoughtful planning matters not only for residents, but also for the long-term certainty that builders and investors rely on. This is the direction our board, alongside the community, is demonstrating. Planning early, acting thoughtfully, and giving residents confidence in this community future. My comments are really about the value of predictable, long-term planning, because decisions like these shape a community for decades.
Thank you. Bob Kyle, followed by Alan Shade.
In 2016, the district claimed that it collected $2.2 million in water supply augmentation fees. That money gets invested by the district, and today with a 3% compounded annual rate, that would be about $2.8 million. In the last couple of years, the district has collected 44 fees from Riverview, 84 from the retreats, which is another $1 million. That means the district is holding almost $4 million in water supply augmentation fees. The district is required to use or designate these funds for specific projects, which they have not. If they don't do this after 5 years, they'll need to return the money. The $2.8 million is currently in jeopardy of being returned. It is your responsibility to augment the water supply, not the developers. The 1990 water policy states the district will take reasonable and timely steps to plan and develop additional raw water sources and storage capacity to serve the full build-out of Rancho Murrieta. WSC has prepared a well siting study that has identified multiple well locations. The landowners have expressed willingness to negotiate a deal on those well locations. The district has the money in the bank. You're going to be drilling wells in the next few months. Why establish a water emergency now when a few months we'll know more about Clementia in the wells? Why subject this community to lawsuits and damage to the real estate market, and who knows what other unintended consequences, when we are already working on solutions? You don't need a moratorium to do the solution. Since 2019, the district has had 5 general managers, 4 directors of operations, 4 finance directors, a grand jury report. The district has paid out hundreds of thousands of dollars in employee settlements. Since there was no accounting for 7 years at CSD, we're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars rebuilding our books and completing overdue audits. The district just wasted $500,000 on an IWMP that will never be finished. The district wasted a $500,000 grant that was supposed to be used drilling wells. This board has wasted millions of dollars of the community's monies with bad decision after bad decision. Don't compound your mistake and send us down the road of litigation. Drill the wells and let's talk about it.
Thank you. Alan Chase, Don Kurt.
Good evening to the board and my fellow residents that haven't left to watch the Olympics. I am probably the only person who's going to be speaking on behalf of the geologists tonight. Dr. Greg Wheeler wrote a letter to the board, and I'm just going to read it to you. I am working in Panama. I cannot come home for the meeting. I have lived at 6327 Playa del Rey for 8 years. I first moved to the Sacramento area in 1978. I was hired as an assistant professor at California State University, Sacramento. Over the last 48 years, I became an associate professor, a professor, and for the 8 years before retirement, I was the associate dean for undergraduate education. I have been a fellow in the 25,000 strong Geologic Society of America for 19 years. I have studied, led field trips, and published geology on the Sacramento area. Although the precise units vary, the principal formations in this area are the Gopher Ridge Formation and the Ione Formation. The Gopher Ridge Formation consists mostly of volcanic rock and is known to produce water only when it is well fractured and this water is rapidly depleted. The Ione Formation is known as an aquiclude. An aquiclude contains no available water and actually prevents the movement of water in the ground. Even if a suitable aquifer, a unit that contains water or transmits water, is found in the area, the cost of drilling is very high and the amount of water will be very limited. The availability of groundwater is regulated by the state, and drilling near the river or other places that would endanger existing water supplies will not be allowed. If we build all the development plans, we will lack a water supply in drought years. It is regrettable that the community ever said we could build more homes. Well water will not solve the problem. You, the elected officers of CSD, should know that increasing the number of water users at the expense of those who already live here is not responsible. Sincerely, Dr. Greg Wheeler.
Thank you. Don Kurtz, followed by Betty Ferraro.
Don Kurtz has left the building.
Oh. Ma'am, Betty Ferraro, followed by Deb Brehan.
Okay, it's easier this way, I'm too short. I'll go over. My name is Betty Ferraro. For those that have not seen me, I stayed on CSD board 2009 through 2016. I was on the board when we discussed everything you're hearing tonight. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm turning my back to the board because they've already had the report from their manager, and she was very well prepared. Okay, for my education for you, during the time I served, I fought for you to make sure that you had ample water, and not always succeeding in everything I did, we did find water after the then manager told me there was no water available except what was down the river. Thanks to Carol Anderson Moore, she was allowing us to come onto her property and tap for coal well. Within that tapping, one provided more than any of the other three. So we went ahead and tapped it. Okay? So that's where you are. However, the downside was we were supposed to go ahead and drill deeper. We only went down about 300 feet. We needed to go deeper. We did not find arsenic. We had normal things in the water in the ground. Okay, after the fact, when I got off the board, the next board decided that we did not need that well. They did not realize what we were trying to do. So they turned around and stopped. That was not Anderson Board doing anything other than supporting us. My question today is, if we tap wells on her property or her family's property, do we have an agreement with her and her boards to go ahead and continue to develop what the other gentlemen have said? There was more to this I could go into that we again fell short on because the board I sat on, we went through a whole process. We were stopped by our then manager. Okay, so gentleman that spoke about managing, that was the answer. We couldn't go further because we did not have support of the manager we elected to take the job. So if you need more history, I'll be glad to come at another time in local groups and fill you in.
Deb Brehan, followed by Jay Schneider.
Deb Brehan. Thank you very much. I just want to say, you know, I moved to Rancho Marietta 8.5 years ago, and I've lived all over the world, and I've never lived anywhere as amazing as this community. This community is what community is all about. And what I've sat here so humbled today and heard is that every answer that we are looking for is already sitting in these seats. And what grieves my heart and has broken my heart these past weeks is to watch the divisiveness that has been sown through fear in our community instead of working towards constructive solutions. And so what I know that we need is we need wisdom. What I know that we need is that we need integrity. And what I know that we need is we need transparency. And I know that in order to have those things, we need to look to something that's much larger than the beauty that is in this room right now. And that is to heaven. So, Father God, I come before your throne right now, and I thank you and I praise you for each and every member of this board
God Almighty, I ask that you give them wisdom. You say if we ask, we will receive. And so I'm asking them for that wisdom right now. Lord, I thank you for the incredible wisdom and power and just purpose that has come through with all of the passion in this room. Because everyone in this room, Lord, I know loves Rancho Marietta. Everyone in this room, I know, wants a solution to the water problem. And God, I know that only through unity will we be able to accomplish that. So God, right now, I thank you that the plans you have for us are good, that you have promised us a future and a hope, and I am prophesying that into effect right now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, James Schneider.
Hello, Lord. Hello, audience. My name is Jay Schneider. I'm a rancher across the river. I've participated in all the Rancho Marietta's water things from the beginning, including the environmental use, to assure that they had a water supply enough to get all of the 5,210 homes then planned and approved for, and get to emergencies they had to deal with El Dorado irrigation district in case. I come here to talk to two specific things, and I don't use this word lightly. The acidity of some of this well-drilling idea. And the second one is the blatant false statement number two. Blatantly false. Now, there was no Claro, EID, 77, a 500-year drought. The only time in all the history of the Kissimmees when you couldn't have got the full allotment for the 5,210 homes. Now reduced well below 4,000. Okay, and Ken Gibbertson participated in those studies after the 77. Claro is the backup supply. It's in the old reports. It's in the resolutions, that thing. So yes, that's the backup supply. And this is 100% false. Okay, now, wells. Like the geologist guy said, there is no groundwater out here. You keep trying. Look on the highway. From here to Rancho Seco, there's like 30, 40,000 acres with like 12 homes and no irrigated agriculture. So look up to the west. All those homes are single family homes with well and septic systems. They need the groundwater. They can't even irrigate part of their yards. So you, as an industrial user, would dig a well when you have lots of resources and then deprive them. The groundwater law won't allow it. I'm on the RCD, and we've been over for 2015 working on a groundwater sustainability plan for this area. So we know there's no groundwater out there. Now, the well was decided, as one man said, in 2002 when they came to the Snyders and they dug a well on our ranch kind of near the river. It's so simple. They found the water, they capped it, so it could be re-drilled and widened in. The well exists, dug by Rancho Marietta. We didn't charge any fees, and we agree now, and I agree then, if you want to use that well, use it. Free. And not only that, there's another well that we use to irrigate right nearby. The environmental loves this solution. Then, can't speak for them now. But the idea was, if it dropped below up here like it ever did in 77, a 500-year event, then you could pump the water out from your own facilities and then turn the well on down there and pump the water back in the river. Except, the environmental liked this idea. Instead of pumping the water, groundwater then, you would pump the groundwater in when the river got lower so that it would keep it alive in the longer. So you could take it out up here when it was 60 or 50 CFS and pump it back in down there when it was 40 to keep it going. 40 is the number it takes to get to McCallman, like somebody else said. So the solution is right there. It's free.
Free.
I represent our family there. I represent now. I guarantee you we'll let you use that land as long as all we ask for is like an insurance warranty so it doesn't cost us any money. We don't have to take this. But this is, and there's other wells down there. Just take any one of them next to the Kissimmees. And the groundwater down there, who were saying it's lowering, it's not. Our wells in that vicinity from Dillard Road North and down this is the same depth they were in the 50s when they dug them, the same way as the depth they were in 85 when they were tested, the same they were in the early 90s, and this is just 2 years ago we did the groundwater depth again. Same. Almost no variation near the river down there. Up here, you can't get groundwater. There isn't any. And all you'll be doing is harming the people to put an industrial round well around here that need it desperately. That's their water. That's their only water. And you guys got abundant water. This river is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So if you're Clara was the butterfly, and then the one last thing, the idea that you wouldn't use Clemencia is a joke. Look at King Gibbers and so on sites. In an emergency, you would use it. If you don't have an emergency, swim in it. Fine. It already went into the treatment plant. It's already got treatment plants there. And it's used for years. It is used for years. I've worked in Grantchester to try to reach solutions. All of our family did, and all of our neighbors. We work with the givers, and we work with the Owen Charlie Hardinell Watership. We work with the State Water and Food Service Board. We work with Elder Water Regulation. We work with the Pension Trust Fund. Everybody worked together to find a solution that you could have enough water and not harm the neighboring ranches. Notice, the Schneider family's still there. The Van Dutch family's still there. The Ruin family's still there. All your neighbors are still there because we got a system in place that allowed the neighbors to stay in agriculture. You should be proud of what the forefathers did when they designed this development. It was a leapfrog development that worked with an agriculture community because we worked together.
Thank you so much, Jay.
Thank you for all of those comments. We'll now ask the board if they have any further comments. Starting to the left, Ken.
I'm not sure where to start. First of all, thank everybody for your time, your input. Supervisor, for taking your time, thank you. I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and I think they're point of order. Mr. Enright stopped me when I start going over my legal boundary. Amelia, who directed you to put this resolution on the agenda?
It was at the direction of the president. Well, the ad hoc.
Okay, so I'll ask the question again. The direction was given either by the board president or the ad hoc committee. Which one?
I'll take the responsibility for putting it on the agenda. Without it being on the agenda, we couldn't act on it at all. We have now the options in front of us of using it or not using it.
Thank you. And Mr. Enright, this is where you're going to have to tell me if I'm crossing the boundary. I thought the board gave you direction from consensus last closed session. We had consensus as a board what was going to move forward and what actions were going to be taken, that no resolution was going to be put on.
I'm going to stop you there. Closed session confidential, and so I'm not going to.
Understood. Thank you. I'll move on. I do not support this resolution. I asked the board for a pause in this process, and direction was given to legal counsel to move forward with the developers at that level, almost removing the board from the negotiation process. We have a natural pause right now with developments on the north, potentially a couple years off. To me, it was natural that we would use that pause, refocus our intent of everything that we just heard, with the exception of a couple of people that said we have no water, but to work together. So with that, I'm done.
I'd first like to thank everyone for coming out. I applaud you for being part of the community. Being part of the community doesn't mean that you agree with everyone. It just means that you're willing to sit next to them and listen to them. And I think that's very important. And I learned a lot tonight. It's interesting to see. I've only been on the board 8 months. And it's interesting to me to see that we've pretty much been fighting this water thing over and over and over again for 10, 15 years. And I scratch my head, and sometimes it kind of drives me nuts to see us doing this when the obvious seems so clear. I think we should really work forward to finding a solution. And I'm not sure that Wells is going to work, but the one thing that we didn't really talk about is putting in a pipe between here and some other water district, which I think is on the easily doable. And it certainly is easily doable if the developers and us work together to make that happen. Beyond that, you know, I took notes voraciously from every one of your comments, and I haven't really digested them. And I'd like to say, John, you know, at this time, I'm not ready to vote for a water emergency. I want to look it over, and Jeff, I'm looking right at you. You know, I said last week I'd like to talk to you and see if we can't just take a deep breath and make something actually happen. And I think it's doable. But, you know, with that, I'm going to reserve comments and my position until I can think it over and talk to people. And thank you all again for coming.
Linda?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, from other board members, but also myself, I appreciate the fact that everyone has come. It's important to hear everything that's being said. We do have differences of opinions, but that doesn't mean we can't hear what other people are saying. So I'm very pleased to have been a part of this. And we're open for discussion.
I think there's a bar that you have to get over if you're going to do, if you're going to cite Section 350 and use it to create a water moratorium. I don't think we're anywhere near that bar. The only thing in this packet, it was very disappointing to see it on Friday. What was in the packet, regurgitation, past things that just don't add up to the specific findings that would be required by Section 350. A lot of people have said this, that the IWMP is just a draft and can't really be used. I do have to correct one person that got up and spoke about it, that said that the board fired Adams because we didn't trust their numbers. The board did not fire Mattos. It's a mystery how Mattos got fired. And we may never get to the bottom of how that happened, which is very sad. I will reiterate what I've been saying since this subject came up, and that is that go forward on with this water moratorium based on the findings that we have at this time would lead, someone said this, it would lead to consequences. Yes. Bad consequences. there would be liability for not only the board, but individuals that carried this forward. And quite honestly, I don't care about the individual's liability. That's up to them. But it's liability that would be on the board, and it would be money that would cost the ratepayers in the long run. And that's what I've said from the very beginning. This would cost the ratepayers. There's absolutely no sense in going forward.
I can sum this up with what is important in the history of what has guided various boards through this process since the early 2000s, when the beginnings of a 2006 Integrated Water Master Plan began. And through that report, and subsequently in another report that was done in 2010, and a report that was extracted from that data to create a water supply assessment that went to the county in 2016, all the way up until we commissioned the existing 2022-23-24 Integrated Water Master Plan, we had a consistent message through that entire period that there was enough water existing in this community to satisfy all of the development. And remarkably, each time those reports were made, the number of houses that were required to support went down. And the answer continued to be rosy until the point of the 2016 water supply assessment, which was striking in its continuing comment through all of these that, hey, look, as long as you continue to support development with 30% to 50% conservation on the existing community, we're going to make it. Not only are we going to make it, we're going to make it, as it said in the 2016 report, solely by using Lake Clement. So some of what has gone on here through the years, and I was on the board before they created the 2006 plan and voted on it in 2007, and I came back to the board after the 2010 report was done and the 2016 report was done. But there was continuing guidance for those boards in the fact that there was enough water here already. They recommended in the first one that we pick up 300 acre feet. They represented, they stated in the next two that we pick up 600 acre feet, which was really the basis of when they started to look for the water that the gentleman referred to in the Dunn report. That water was being searched for and would have been harvested to satisfy for emergencies that had nothing to do with future development. It was water for emergencies, i.e. we had a breakdown in our water plant or some other catastrophe. So remarkably, when I sit here today after battling the 2010 report and the water supply assessment, I think it's remarkable that we've come to a point for the first time that I think, with a few exceptions that came to the podium tonight, we have a universal agreement that we have a water problem. Mrs. Eckert has been at this since 1990. I joined her in 2010 when it became apparent to me that we were supplementing the report not with additional water but with voodoo type transactions of 20% reductions by the state and the ever
increasing abundance of recycled water which has not materialized. So I want to culminate that just with recount one incident where back in about 2016 or 2017, my gigs now all run together on stuff. Mr. Kyle came to me and he asked me if I would meet with the newly appointed head of the Rancho North team, which was Mr. Dyer. And in that meeting, I asked Bob if he thought we had enough water to support development. And he said no. And then I said to him, well, if I go to this meeting with Mr. Dyer and I ask him the same question, what's he going to say? And Bob said to me, he's going to say no. And I think I remarked with some expletive that I didn't trust what was being presented to me. But I took the meeting, and I went to the meeting. And Mr. Velez and Jeff were at the meeting, and I asked that question first and foremost, and Mr. Dyer told me, no, we didn't have enough water. So I think when we sit in this room and we debate a water emergency and we hang that over the head of the community, if we go a different way, we have achieved a great deal by getting to this point. And maybe it took a very large hatchet to get there, because until we did this report, and every one of those reports was done by the same consultants, okay, until we got to that point where...
How rude!
All right, let's go back. Until we got to this point, we didn't have universal acceptance. I think we're going to need to solve the problem. And I agree that, and I agree wholeheartedly with bringing WSC in to do the well study. What concerns me greatly with the well study is if we look at the existing water supply and what is concluded by Mattis in this fourth report that she did, and what we did when we extracted her data, not our data, and applied it to the report where we reviewed what she did, we came up with the conclusions that we really need a supplemental supply, and it's reinforced by 552. We have to do that. So if we do the wells, and Miss Anderson's project was never here, ever, just never created, never a problem. And we didn't give the entitlements to the 300 units in Riverview and residences. If those were off the table, guess what? What this data is showing us is that we have the very same problem. We have a water deficiency with the 2,925 houses that we have in front of us today. Okay? So we need to deal with that. And we've said we're going to embark on a program to look for wells. And there's been all kinds of comments up to one of my favorite ranchers in the world, Jay, that, you know, there is water here and there's not water here. And we were influential in creating that groundwater authority that he mentioned. And we should do that. What disturbs me in that process is that when this water is found and it's found on someone else's property, three things can happen. There's no water at all, which legally is no problem. There's all the water in the world, which is legally no problem, but somewhere in the middle is probably reality, and what happens if we only get part of the water? Who gets it? And it's not important at the moment to decide who gets it, and it's not important at the moment to not negotiate who's going to pay for it, okay? But it's vastly important that an agreement be put in place to do that. And when you look at the wells, in my opinion, you know, we've been labeled all the way across the board as a high-risk district. Our water supply is fragile. and it's fragile for a lot of reasons. And I think it's important that we look for alternative sources of supply, and they are available. I spent about a month researching what's called indirect diversion of recycled water. And it started in the State Assembly in 2018, and it came together in 2023 when it became law that we could double treat that water, and we could use that water as a potable resource. What it is for us is somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 to 600 acre feet of water that we're going to have every day of the year, whether it rains, whether it snows. As long as someone takes a shower, we're going to create that water. We need to find a meaningful way to use it, and it's not going to be easy because they've already told me when I queried the water board to say, could we do this? They said yes, but of course, like they say every other time, we're going to have to test that.
What you're providing is absolute required knowledge and history. But we do have an action item that we are to discuss on for the resolution.
We do.
So I would humbly ask that we call for a vote on it.
Okay. Before we do that,
I'm learning something.
I just want to reinforce too that as we move through this, we have to do something as a board. We need two things here to take us through the rest of this process, because there are other alternatives. I was under the impression that we had ruled out any conversation with the El Dorado Irrigation District, and in researching back emails through the district, kind of believe that maybe we hadn't done what we should have to fully mine that resource. So I called up there and I talked to two people, and from the general manager of the EID, I got a selection of 8 dates to choose from when we could come up and talk to them. So I think we ought to try that. It's complicated and it may not work, but I wouldn't write it off until we can do that. Every one of our permits has to be negotiated. We're not in any position to do that without sophisticated support from a water rights lawyer. We don't have one, and we need one. Every single thing that we mention as mitigation requires a change in our permits. Some of them are licenses, which are even more difficult to change. So I think I will support a deference on this issue, but I want to make it clear there are things we need to do and things we need to rectify as we go through the process. The final thing, and it's very important, we have arbitration, and that arbitration is called a water supply assessment. We are going to, at some point in time, and I don't think it's anytime soon, we're going to get a mandate, because it's water law, from the county, that we do a water supply assessment. We will do that with a qualified engineer who can use at their discretion the data that's been created by Mattis and the working group report that we've created, and they can use that data as they see fit and do an unbiased report on their own and report back to the county whether or not this water is here. And that's going to happen. The law requires it to happen. So I don't know when that will be. It doesn't seem like it's going to be anytime soon, but perhaps we can start on the rest of the process and wait for that arbitration. So I'm finished. And we can move for a motion on the resolution.
I would like to see a vote. I make a motion that the resolution be approved.
Motion. Do we have a second?
That motion dies. I'd like to make a motion that we defer action on this resolution to a future date. There's a motion to adjourn. I'll second that motion.
Before adjournment, I would like to thank Supervisor Rodriguez for being here. Your time, Brian Little, and yes, Brian Little and Eric Dutton for letting us have the place. We got kicked out the first one, and then to staff for everything that you've done. Thank you.
Do we need a vote to adjourn? Yes, we need a vote.
All in favor?